Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
The Broncos have made it to the desert, and so have we. Live from Arizona, 104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with the big story of the day.
Right. That's right. We have made it to the Valley of the Sun to follow what will be the Super Bowl for the Denver Broncos.
Oh.
As they play the Arizona Cardinals. Who knew that a matchup between a 1-5 and 2-4 teams would have so much dramatic implications? And I am telling you, this is what Arizona is all about weather-wise. I mean, it is perfect. It is just that cool 77, 80 degrees, nice little cross breeze out there, super comfortable, just like this is why people fly and get themselves down, Alfred, to Arizona in colder weather. Not that the weather's, you know, bad back at home by any stretch, but it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So
I am having a hard time dealing with you in that Arizona State hat.
You shouldn't.
In Arizona, while you're rocking the Arizona State golf shirt.
Well, I don't know why you. Well, I don't know why you would.
Just trying to figure out. Well, I mean, we shouldn't have a real issue since Colorado did take care of business.
Yeah, yeah. What are you worried about?
I'm just saying it just still feels a little warped for a guy who lives in Colorado to be representing Arizona State hard.
On a very personal note, flew down early this morning with all the rest of the Chiefs.
How was that?
It's awful to wake up at 4 o'clock and travel. But the plane, shockingly, was sold out. Not shockingly. There's a lot of other Chiefs gates like me.
What boarding position did you get?
We were B18, 19, and 20.
So did all three of you guys sit together?
We did, which never happens.
How was that?
So it was great. It was great.
Who got the middle seat?
My wife sat in the middle. Kim sat in the middle seat. It was great. We snuggled up on a smooth hour, 35-minute flight or whatever it was.
Who got the window?
My younger son. He went back to bed. It's fall break. It's the timing of this is unbelievable because for the Cherry Creek school districts, this is fall break. So we
did your son go back to bed for an hour and a half?
Yeah. And then we here's what it's
did
funny.
You have coffee?
No, I did not have coffee. Mm. No, I wanted to sleep. You know, I ended
did
up.
You, were you able to sleep?
Yeah, on the flight.
You didn't
a little
get
bit.
Hit by the cart?
No, I did not. Well, they don't really do a cart.
Yeah, they do.
Southwest.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I didn't see
on that. Every flight, but you know,
I slept
maybe
right
your shoulders aren't broad enough to get hit by the cart.
I don't have those big people issues, Alfred, on plane flights. But here, and then it was really great because my older son has the Honda Pilot. The Honda made its way down here, so I got a car down here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it's kind of nice. And
nice.
If you're,
I have a car too.
Well, okay. Where'd you get that car from?
I got the little convertible from the rental place.
There you go, pal.
You know, I mean, if you're in Arizona this time of year.
If you're going to roll, you're going to roll big with
Big
Al.
I mean, this feels like...
they don't call you Little Al.
This feels like, to me, though, this game is shaping up. I've talked to the Arizona sports station here.
Yeah.
How are they feeling about this game? And, you know, everybody's apologetic about what's going on with them offensively, saying
that they
don't have the requisite talent to really win in the NFL right now. It sounded a lot like us last year. It really sounded like us last year.
How so?
Because there was a lot of talk when we were losing that we didn't have the requisite talent to win.
Mm.
And when you are losing, that's what everybody believes. Not that game planning matters, not that – you know, breaks count, you know, long as they break in your decision and your way, then breaks really count. But for some reason, every NFL team that is not above 500 during this time of the year think that they have a depletion of talent. I find that to be the most interesting portion of watching NFL football and listening to fan bases around the country talk about their injuries, which we have plenty of.
Yep.
Or their lack of talent. And certainly at times it looks like that we are in that case. And then the third part that has been talked about when teams don't win is the coaching. Inevitably, it always gets back to the coaching. And then you trying to you kind of look at all the rest of the things that are wrong with your organization when you're losing. And that I find that to be hilarious, because I got to tell you, my time spent in Cincinnati playing for the Bengals, there was so much talent on that roster. I mean, compared to the teams, you know, I got in famously got in trouble with the 49ers. And I'll tell you the story real quick. But I was with the 49ers for the year after they won the Super Bowl in 1994. And so I get to training camp and I am just running circles around the San Francisco 49ers. I am making them look so bad. You know, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, I have tackles around me telling me to slow down. And I'm like, man, I'm on a one-year deal full of incentives. Why would I slow down for you? No, I came here to get a win. I came to get the dub, the championship, everything. I want the chip. I want the dubs. I want it all. And so I got frustrated, and this was in Rockland, California, and I famously said, none of y'all could start for the Cincinnati Bengals, in which I got a tap on the shoulder from the head coach, George Seifert, who said, son, you know, we won the Super Bowl last year, right. And which I promptly said, y'all don't practice like it. And from then on, I went into San Francisco's drug treatment program. D-Mac.
I want you to meet Harry Edwards, Alfred.
No, it started like this. They sent me to the drug rehab guy whose name was Noah. So he was in charge of, you know, I guess the guys who have had problems with substances in the past. So he asked me after practice, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And they were like, yeah, are things okay with you? Is life okay? Do you have some issues with that you want to talk to me about? I'm like, no. So, you know, this goes on for like two, three days. And then I get a visit from Dr. Harry Edwards, who worked with the 49ers for a long time.
Okay.
And he started talking to me about this mumbo jumbo about, hey, man, this is the 49ers. And I was like, I don't care. I just want to win. So I was just down for doing whatever it would take to win. And on that one-year deal, I could have did that deal anywhere in the NFL, and everybody would have been okay with me doing that deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I just couldn't believe what I was watching. This team just won a Super Bowl last year.
Right.
And I just came from the Cincinnati Bengals. We had a Jerry Rice and Carl Pickens. We had left tackles and right tackles. My left tackle was a Hall of Fame guy in Anthony Munoz. You know, we had great running backs and Harold Green and company. We had 9 first-rounders on defense. Man, look, at some point, it comes down to coaching. It comes down to coaching and putting guys in position to make plays. And either you can do it or you can't. And when you have your quarterback,
mm-hmm.
And this is what I was telling them here in Arizona.
Yeah.
When you don't have your quarterback, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And when you have your quarterback and he's young, you're hopeful. So don't be down on your team here in Arizona.
No reason to.
There's no reason to be down on your team in Arizona.
Yeah.
Don't be like the Broncos, who Vance Joseph walked into a situation where he didn't have a starting quarterback.
Right.
He walked into a situation where we had, what was that called last year? The decision.
The decision.
The decision.
Decision.
A head coach walks into a situation called the decision.
Was that the coach walking?
That was just me hitting that thing. Oh. I just had to hit something.
Okay.
But he walks into a situation that's called the decision, and then we go out and get Case Keenum that I was hopeful that would change everything because he looked so good. He looked so good last year in Minnesota, and it hasn't worked. I don't know why they're just going through normal growing pains, right, D-Mac? I mean, isn't this what we prescribed for Paxton Lynch? I mean, you're going to lose.
Yes.
Okay, you're a rookie in this league.
Get it out of the way.
Get it. You're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
It's part of the process.
The tone of us doing our shows would be completely different because we're like, all right, didn't go our way.
Saw some improvement.
Look at this. Look at that. How about this? How about that? You know he's going to get better here and there, and it would feel like that. We know we wouldn't be going to the playoffs, but we'd be okay with it because you understand that Peyton Manning went 1-15 as a starter.
Of course.
His rookie year.
Of course. And then we would talk about all the good things that young NFL players do, and then we would also talk about what we're expecting next year.
That's why when you don't get that quarterback when you should.
Right.
And it doesn't work out.
You're right.
No, I know.
Golly, you're right.
It sets you back 2 years.
Mm.
It doesn't set you back 1 year.
Gotcha.
It sets you back 2 years. Maybe 3 years, depending on the type of quarterback you get. For example, if we can't get Justin Herbert, right? Out of Oregon.
Why do you keep doing that?
Because
I said it first, the first time like that. Right. I think it's A-Bear.
You can't get A-Bear because we love Bobby.
Herbert, right.
And it just seems so unlikely that the Broncos would be able to do that.
Right.
Well, who are we looking at? The kid out of North Carolina State?
I don't know. I think Drew Locke. Missouri.
You dig into Drew Locke. He's not the most, vociferous of dudes.
I know, but he was a top five talent last year in a class full of quarterbacks. His numbers stood, right there neck and neck with Baker Mayfield in 2017.
If you get
He should have came out last year, would have been a first round draft pick.
All right. Well, you get Drew Locke, and then what? I mean, then what?
Then you go through your losing process.
I'm going to tell you right now, you're committed to Case Keenum.
To win.
All next year.
Oh, you out of your mind.
What choice do you have?
$8 million, D-Mac. What are you talking
about? Well, if you don't like...
What team is going to pay Case Keenum more than $8 million next year?
Nobody.
Well, then that's when you ask him to take a pay cut to $8 million.
You're going
to
ask him to take a pay cut?
Or to $8 million.
Why would he ever take a pay cut? Why would he
because
ever take
Because that's the max
A-Rod
that anybody
cut.
Would give him.
The best guy that
we're going to give you an $8 million guaranteed contract to be our backup quarterback.
By the way,
you want it, we'll give you a chance to compete for a chance to be the starter.
The best guy that we could really hope for, to be quite honest with you, is Ryan Finley out of NC State. But he's a second-round guy. He's a khaki pants, dream. He's that guy. I don't even know if you can hand the keys to the Corvette to the second round guy during year one. I don't know. But you're certainly not going to waste a first round pick on him. You'd be idiotic to do that. Well, that would be going down the Paxton Lynch path.
When we went through this whole process, what was it Monday when we went through every team and their quarterback situation in the NFL? To only find that there were a handful of guys that are starting in the NFL that weren't first-round draft picks.
Was that crazy?
And to find out that we had the only undrafted quarterback that starts in the NFL.
Right.
It was pretty daunting then. That changed my whole approach to the way that we play offensive
football. Well, it makes the Broncos organization outliers.
Yeah.
It makes us really swimming against the tide. Yeah. So why are we so special, right? Why are we so visionary? And you could say, well, we're visionary if we are visionary, but it doesn't look like that. It looks like we're not visionary. It's like we just blew it. We're the exact opposite of visionary.
We have a faster way to get there than what Google Maps tells you to go.
Now, listen.
Google Maps says,
this way.
I got this.
I don't need that.
I had a friend today meet me for lunch. He was following right behind him. I texted him the same address.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He went his way, and I went the way Google Maps told me to go.
How'd that work out for everybody?
7 minutes before he was.
He got there. I mean, the games are going to happen.
Right.
They're going to have the games.
It is a trip, though, D-Mac. It is a trip.
But that's a funny way. We're like 7 minutes behind the rest of the NFL. We're 7 minutes behind.
Do what?
We're not like an hour behind. We're not a week behind. We're like seven minutes behind.
Right, because we're not stuck with a first-round draft pick who can't play right now.
Right.
So that makes us just slightly behind, because if we were stuck with a guy who couldn't play, we would have to ride this out to see if he could play.
If you pay attention and if you've been watching some game film on Arizona.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, this young quarterback.
Yeah.
Rosen is the real deal, dog.
I heard through Big Sexy who you compared him to, and I really like. You want to say who you he reminds
he's a
you
young
of?
Peyton Manning.
He's a young Peyton
Manning. He's a young Peyton Manning. He is the real deal.
Super smart, can change things at the line. Sees,
throws guys open.
Yeah, he's just missing just a little bit.
Right.
He's just missing a little bit, but he's more of that.
Take a little off the fastball on some of those intermediate routes.
He'll figure that out. And I bet you anything, if you looked, it's such a great comparison. If you looked at tape of Peyton Manning as a rookie and Josh Rosen as a rookie, I bet you'd see a million different similarities. He's a young Peyton Manning. It's a great comparison. I think Patrick Mahomes is a young John Elway.
Oh, I think Patrick Mahomes is a young Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, but I think Aaron Rodgers is an Elway type of guy.
Where would you put if you had to rank them?
Sure.
Where was Aaron Rodgers go compared to John Elway?
He's behind John Elway. I think Mahomes has
what do you think the
an arm like Elway, though, like that sort of strength and that sort of baseball move around mobility. But Aaron Rodgers certainly has that too.
John was just such a great athlete. He was such a great athlete. But
and you look at Baker Mayfield, tell me you don't see Drew Brees all over again.
I do.
Right?
I do.
You look at Sam Darnold.
He just looks like the classic NFL quarterback that we've all seen for many years.
And I'm telling you what, did you see Lamar Jackson?
Oh, yeah. Sub into the game.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me you weren't reminded a little bit of Michael Vick.
Yeah. That's what I wanted. Right, I wanted Lamar Jackson.
Who does Case? I would have loved Lamar Jackson.
That's who I wanted, Lamar
that
Jackson.
It would have been great to have Lamar Jackson. And we could have.
Changed the game. Change the game plan.
We would have had to give up Courtland Sutton. Tough.
Maybe not. Maybe we could have gave up something in the third round. First, you know.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, to me, just logically, you'd have to give up that second round.
Maybe you keep trading down until you get him in the first round.
But it wasn't that special to trade up to 32. I mean, a lot of teams could trade up to 32.
Have Chubb and
Jackson?
Yeah, I just.
That would have been great. If that had happened, I would have been over the moon.
Right now, he'd be the starter.
He'd be the starter. Or he'd be darn close. He'd be darn close.
I'm just...
I'm just
reflective of where we are in the process and how people lenses on where their organization is now and where ours is right now. They are a 1-5 team that is... trying to get better, but the head coach made some ridiculous remarks like, we better win. I'm like, you have a rookie quarterback. What are you doing? You're destroying yourself. You're destroying your whole message. You don't tell an organization and a city, we better win or we got to get a win this week with a rookie quarterback versus a team that's not far removed from winning the Super Bowl?
I have some quotes from Joe Ellis through Lindsey Jones.
Oh, my goodness, not more. Not more. No, you know what, D-Mac?
Well, let me just read them.
Hold on. I don't want any more quotes. I don't want any more. I don't want any more. We're all pulling for VJ.
Oh, no. It's not that today.
Oh, my goodness. That's more?
It's not that today. This is what Joe said through Lindsey Jones of TheAthletic.com, and I'm reading this through Nikki.
Oh, do we have to?
Joe Ellis, quote, we've got to figure out a way to stop talking about how we need to do things differently and actually do things differently. On in-season coaching swaps, quote, well, we did it in 2010, so we'll see. We'll see. I'm trying to stay focused on one game at a time and see where we go from there. And having conversations with John and see where we go. This is the Super Bowl. Here we are. Now you have ownership, or whatever Joe is, head of the trust.
CEO of the Broncos.
Voting member. We have Joe saying one game at a time. If it's who else is telling their coaches one game at a time? Seriously. What other owner is out there telling the public that it's one game at a time?
It's a that means
if it's one game at a time, this is the Super Bowl tomorrow. The Broncos Super Bowl. Here it is. If it's one game at a time, Al. You know, most coaches aren't thinking it's one game at a time. Most coaches are six, seven. We're
like
in
they're
our
looking
we're,
for we're in our second to quarter. Make a coaching change.
We're in our second quarter.
So, by the way, did Joe Ellis have anything to do with the coaching decision in 2010?
Of course he did.
Of course he did. I mean, that was course, the Josh McDaniels hire.
That's right.
Why?
Well, I think the other quote that's interesting is we've got to figure out a way to stop talking about how we need to do things differently and actually do things differently. And you know what? I like Joe. I really do.
I know.
I know I've been critical of Joe, but I've known Joe for a long time. And the one thing I know when Joe says something like that is he's going to look at he's talking about everything. I know he's at least thinking like that.
Mm.
And so when he says we need to do things differently or we need to, you know, stop talking about how we do things differently, actually do things differently, that indicates to me that, you know, Joe knows he has to be the one. Joe is
that's a good statement.
Acknowledging that.
That is good.
I'll
give you that one.
Yeah.
That's a good, positive statement from a guy who's in charge.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do things differently, and I don't know what those things are, but we're going to do them differently than we have in the past.
Which means if he really means that, and I do think he does mean it, that's holding everybody accountable, okay, including John. You know, including Matt Russell and
fair.
Including everybody.
It's more than fair. It's more than fair. If you have a job, okay, I'll assume that you're working for somebody.
Right. Everybody
that somebody, does. Yeah, if you have a job, right? If you're not the business owner and you work for the business owner.
Unless apparently you're Stan Kroenke and then you just own everything.
Well, he's the boss.
He is
and
the
everybody
boss.
Under him. Everybody under him has a job.
You realize he can come back and now own the Nuggets and the Avalanche, too.
Oh, has it been the prerequisite time period?
No, the owners, they had an owners meeting, and they dismissed that rule that you can't own a different
multiple
sports.
Teams.
Yes, you can, a different franchise.
I wonder who spearheaded that one, but anyway.
I'm not sure, but might be bad news for Josh Kroenke, I suppose, but, you know, Dad can come back in, officially. Not that he hasn't been running things anyways. But that being said, the comments by Joe are interesting. Joe is in charge, not John. John doesn't own the Broncos. Joe runs the Broncos.
And he has a determination on who else is going to own the Broncos.
So, Joe, if that's right, that is correct. Joe, if you think that, I think Joe is sick
I
and
trust
tired.
His judgment.
I think Joe
I
is
trust his judgment.
Sick and tired of, like, hearing about coaches being scapegoats. Like last year, clearly Mike McCoy was the scapegoat. Clearly.
Okay.
And he may have deserved it. I'm not saying he done. Okay. I mean, we see what's happening down here in the desert with the Cardinals.
All right.
So, okay, fine. But I don't think you can't deny that, wow, he's a scapegoat. And we're going to fire Tyke Tolbert. We're going to fire Eric Studisville. Oh, Brock Olivo. Special teams was a disaster.
They needed to.
Oh, okay, fine.
They need to fire those people.
But they probably
shouldn't have had them on the staff to begin with.
Well, okay.
You should have known that about your personnel.
Well, you should have had Eric Studisville on your staff, Adam.
Why?
Oh, come on, man. He's been here for like 8 years. He's a Super Bowl winning coach.
So what?
He's a champion.
So what?
All right.
What kind of production did you really get out of that running back room? I mean, did you get really great production? Do you want the production that you have now or the production you had last year?
You didn't have these two guys last year. Eric Studisville
right.
didn't have these weapons.
I think we had at least one of these guys last year in Henderson.
Oh, my God. All right.
What?
Right, fine. That's another personnel
decision.
Did we
have at least another one of those guys in Jamal Charles?
Oh, my God.
So
I don't think so, actually.
I think, okay. We'll see when Jacksonville, when he gets acclimated to what's going on in Jacksonville.
Al, do you like David Johnson?
Oh.
You think he's any good?
Oh, my goodness. The guy is a fantastic running back.
He rushes for like 3.2 per right now.
He's so good catching the ball, too.
They average 66 yards a game
don't
on the ground.
Don't do this today.
All right, we got to take a break. But we're in good moods. Listen, here's what's important. We're down here in Arizona. Here's what's important. This game is actually a big deal.
It is the biggest deal of Vance Joseph, Joseph's NFL head coach tenure. This is by far the biggest game that he has had in his young NFL coaching experience.
We may not have compelling games in December. It may not happen. I hope it does.
It feels like every game going from here will feel like this.
This one in particular. This one in
particular. Against a rookie quarterback. We had two rookie quarterbacks on the schedule in the last 2 out of the 3 weeks. We had rookie quarterbacks. We counted those wins.
So it's a gargantuan.
We all counted those wins.
It's a gargantuan game tomorrow. I love Vaughn's attitude at the end of the day. Let's go out there and kick their ass. And they don't even care if they win down here. The winning to the folks, Cardinals fans, is kind of irrelevant. They're looking for development. They're looking for different things.
This is most people who are down here. This is their second home, and this is the time of year when the city swells up because they don't have diehard Cardinal fans. Are you kidding me? There are no diehard Coyote fans or diehard.
Oh, my God, you are too funny.
Oh, I'm telling you, there are no diehard Arizona Diamondback fans. Are you kidding me?
You're right.
They won a World Series, and they still can't get behind the team. Go to a game here in the middle of July or August when it's all air conditioning inside. It's empty.
Dude, by the way, with the big three next. One of my favorite stories of the year that is going to set you off. Nuggets open up, and you know what that means. Bad news for Alfred. Details next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
The Broncos have made it to the desert, and so have we. Live from Arizona, it's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
I just want to give a shout-out to everybody who was saying hi to me in the airport and on the airplane, and I don't know how your travels have been, Al, down here, but there are...
I ran into a cocky Arizona fan who said, can't wait to get the dub against me.
All right.
See you at the game tomorrow, buddy.
I ran into a bunch of Broncos fans, so they're the representation down here is significant. So I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a blast tomorrow. We'll be covering top to bottom. Okay, story number one, Alfred. You are a lone wolf on this particular topic because you thought Michael Malone should be terminated as the coach of the Nuggets because he didn't get him to the playoffs. His contract was extended today on the verge of the Nuggets tipping it off with the Clippers later tonight. What do you think about the confidence in the extension of a contract to Michael Malone?
How many years? Hopefully it's just one.
They added 2 years onto the end of his contract. So, yeah.
You know what? Just had to do it, didn't you? Just had to start off with a negative story.
It's not a negative story since people like Michael Malone. The Nuggets are opening tonight against the Clippers. Everybody's very optimistic. I swear to God, you are the only... Big Sexy, help me out here. Is there anybody else screaming for Michael Malone to be canned except for Alfred?
Honestly, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
You're it. So how do you feel about that?
Bongos.
Three.
Don't ever get it twisted when talking to the great Bill Belichick about the best outside linebacker in the history of the NFL. Lawrence Taylor, without a doubt. The 1986 NFL MVP.
Yeah, he was great. He loved cocaine, too.
Loved cocaine.
And prostitutes.
Cocaine, hell of a drug.
Hell of a drug.
Lawrence Taylor, 1986 NFL MVP.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever think about putting Khalil Mack in that category. There's only one Lawrence Taylor.
That's your story?
That is...
Let's hear it.
That's Bill Belichick.
No way, man. We're talking about Lawrence Taylor now. Yeah, I'm not putting anybody in Lawrence Taylor's class, so. Put everybody down below that. That's with a lot of respect to a lot of good players now, but we're talking about Lawrence Taylor.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. You say something bad about Lawrence Taylor, we're going to get Tony Soprano in. We're going to whack you. I have to take all my Bon Jovi fans, and we're all going to kneecap you if you say bad things.
All that conversation about anybody in Bill Belichick's, view.
You got to understand who Bill Belichick is, though. You got to know where he
came. What does that mean?
Oh, he's like a Jersey guy. Like, he, I'm not joking about, like, the Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen Jersey thing, and he's a linebacker guy. I mean, he's like, Lawrence Taylor is Bill Belichick. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. I guess if you look at it, he kind of made that defense there in New York, which gave him an opportunity to be the defensive coordinator that he is today.
You realize Bill Belichick is Tony Soprano. He's not a Massachusetts guy. He's a Jersey guy. And Lawrence Taylor, and he coached him. I mean, everything about Lawrence Taylor and Bill Belichick goes together. Except the cocaine and prostitutes.
Okay. All right, then. Bongos.
Yeah. Three! Alfred Adam Jones is not going to play. He's hurt. Okay, so let's just take away all the other stuff, and let's just talk about football here and the needs of the Broncos. Isn't it time to just simply elevate Brendan Langley up? He was a draft pick. He's a young guy. Because Adam Jones, you're going to see him just be hurt. And even if you thought he had some potential, isn't it time, because you lack depth, to simply do to Adam Jones what you did to Marquette King? Settle on an injury settlement, put him on IR, and say, sorry, it didn't work out.
You know what? That's a great idea. For as positive as Adam Jones has been with the organization for the time period that he's been here, really, I think that you're right about this one.
Because isn't it time to sink or swim?
You keep on asking a guy who has been hurt all the time to be ready to go, and what you're doing is that you're putting everybody else
back
that is going to be on this team going forward, you're putting them to the back burner.
Right.
So do yourself a favor. Get out there on the waiver wire. Find you a guy that you can bring in.
Okay.
Maybe elevate Langley.
Right.
With Adam Jones, because you know he's not going to be back or have a long-term impact with your team. As great of a cornerback as he is,
Didn't work out. He's hurt.
And you can't deal with a hurt player in this league on your team having such a big role.
Bongos.
Three.
Okay.
Okay. You got anything in particular?
I just know that Vance Joseph talked about resetting the run defense.
Well, we can get into that. That's a good conversation. We'll dig into it. The importance of this game tomorrow, I can't over-exaggerate it. For what it's worth and for what it means to so many people, it's gargantuan, and they got to make some changes. Let's dig into it coming up next.
The Broncos have made it to the desert, and so have we. Live from Arizona, here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Yeah, it's beautiful. They have a sponsor for their stadium, by the way, y'all. State Farm Space Dome or something.
They also get Super Bowls, so that makes sense.
I was driving. It's very futuristic.
You know, I was living here as that stadium was being constructed. And
well, you would not recognize that area now, because I remember years ago there was nothing around there. That whole mall area,
they have a new loop out here that wasn't here when I lived here, the 303. And that just goes on the furthest loop outside the 101. And just opens up a brand new territory for Arizona. It seems like every place, like, you know, that distance between the Denver Tech Center and mm-hmm. Colorado Springs gets shorter and shorter every year as more people in that middle area fill in.
Yeah, I think I was first out here in the mid-90s, and the concept of Glendale was, like, ridiculous. And
it's where the baseball teams went.
I agree. Everything kind of is melded out there. The Mariners and Padres just train 5 minutes up the road. They just put a Topgolf across the highway from the stadium. There's this Westgate area where the hockey team plays, the Coyotes play. It's a whole town and hotels, restaurants, kind of a whole thing out there now.
But once again,
You know what's interesting? It shows you what you can do if you build the stadium and you have space around it. You know, you can build, pick a
large area with a lot of room, and you can do exactly what Stan Kroenke is doing out there in Los Angeles.
Right.
And what they've done, the Bidwells have done here in Arizona.
Which will never, they want to try to do it in Denver, but they just don't have the space.
Have you seen Grand Canyon University yet?
I have. as a matter of fact.
What an unbelievable campus that is.
Uh-huh.
That was the first time I actually saw it was today. Now, I've read a lot about it because it's a for-profit university.
Yes.
So it was, you know, I was really
into sports, by the way.
What?
They're really into sports.
Oh, no, basketball in particular.
Dude, everything.
You know, it is a for-profit idea.
I don't think they have a football team, but the
basketball program has come from nowhere.
Oh, they'll do well quickly.
Yeah,
baseball programs.
But it's quite interesting to see different parts of the country after leaving Denver and loving our city for so long. I mean, it's
don't get me wrong. I would never rather live here than Denver. Okay,
no.
But it is interesting because we've had these conversations about the stadium. First of all, look at it. They did build it in the middle of nowhere. And now things are just popping up all over the place.
All around, along with the hockey stadium.
That's right.
So it's not just a football stadium; it's the hockey stadium as well.
It's a retractable roof.
And downtown is flourishing, much like Lotto did back in.
Let's talk about the stadium itself. It's gorgeous. It's a retractable roof. They play on real grass.
Oh, and they do a great that system that they have for those fields. I think is legendary by itself because what they do. Is that they roll in the grass field when it's time for the game.
Yeah.
Like the grass isn't actually growing in the stadium. It's actually growing outside in the sun. And then when it's time for the game, they kind of just load the grass field in and lock it in place and play a game. It is revolutionary. To say the least.
They had the roof down today. It's a gorgeous day. And I'm thinking maybe that's what they do the day before a game just to spruce the grass up or whatever. That it really is. It's they have Super Bowls here.
They have Super Bowls here. So it makes sense for them to have sponsorship dollars.
And the most, aside from the Broncos winning the Super Bowl, which was absolutely the most exciting thing I've ever been at. The next best sporting event I've ever been at was that Patriots-Seattle Super Bowl, which was in that stadium. And I just couldn't believe what I saw. Malcolm Butler. Not giving it to Marshawn,
right,
the whole thing.
Right.
And it's a great facility. It's a great place to come. The Broncos only play here once every 6 years.
But it's
they play in preseason
city.
Every year.
It's a transient city, to say the least. They don't have the fan support and the fan base like we have in Denver, and they never will.
I think
no matter what, this always will be a transient city because of the weather.
I will be very surprised if you don't notice a significant Broncos contingent down here. Let me tell you something too about this trip. The schedule comes out in April. There's just Broncos fans that look for great road games to go to. They're not making plans at the last minute, right? They're making these plans over the spring and the summer, so they're coming. They're coming here, Al, no matter what the record is for the Broncos. So, and they'll be enthusiastic. They were excited this morning on the plane. They're wearing Broncos gear the day before the game on a plane ride down at 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, they're going to be fired up. It's going to be a fun game to watch.
It's going to have a collegiate atmosphere around it. The collegiate atmosphere will be something that is appreciated. Really, it's appreciated after seeing the team being booed
right
at home.
That was rough. That was tough. All right, running game. Go ahead. What are your thoughts here? What BJ is going to – what's he going to call?
Well, the conversation was had, and I think that
– first of all, Arizona has the worst running game in the NFL.
But
they're 32.
But the Broncos have had problem when teams go three wide receivers, one tight end, and one running back.
Well, the Broncos have the worst rushing defense in the NFL.
We call that 11 personnel. And 11 personnel, we usually switch out a linebacker for a cornerback. And instead, what they're going to do is stay in base defense. Now, they may have to switch to more zone concepts or soft man and give up something because you'll have to ask a guy like Justin Simmons to be in man-to-man coverage if you go to man. But the bottom line is because you change, we're not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that concept to me is valuable because we do what we do. You do what you do, and at the end of the game, we'll see what's going on. Because it's not necessarily about matchups. If you don't have a competent third corner that you can put in the game, D-Mac, if you know for a fact that you have a problem with a third corner coming into the game, don't bring them in the game. Play your safeties at the corner position. It's something that we've done in the past, and looks like it's going to be something that we're going to incorporate going forward.
Okay.
That's the byproduct of not having guys who understand and are willing to stick their head in there in the run game. That'll fix our run defense right there.
Who's that going to lean on?
Well, it's going to make, you know, you'll see passing yardage go up, but the run defense is going to, you know, we're going to get back down to 3.2 yards a carry.
Yeah, I do have a nightmare about tomorrow night. I do have a nightmare.
I was watching Rosen thinking, you know, like, you know, because I was really vibing on, you know, Correction Tuesday. And then I started watching Rosen today, and I was like, this dude can play.
Yeah.
Like, this dude can play.
My nightmare scenario is that
I could not believe what I was watching.
You start selling out because you're personally insulted about stopping the run. Go back. Just go back and watch the first play of the game.
First play, touchdown. 75
yards,
man.
Kirk, watch how easy
it was. And that ball was in the air for like 65 yards.
Landed like a feather.
65 yards on the money.
So you want to sell out for the run.
7-0.
They got a dude, Christian Kirk is his name, and he's a burner. So just heads up. They got a guy.
75 yards, that ball must have been in the air. I'm telling you, 60, 65 yards.
First play of the game.
I mean, it was pretty, and he held that football there and stepped up in the pocket, didn't waver at all, let it fly.
And by the way, they're going, no huddle, RPO, college-based system, they're going for it. They have nothing to lose.
But it's the system that the quarterback knows. And since the quarterback knows that system, hey, I'll come in and we'll put in some plays, coach.
Mike McCoy is this close, fingers close together, to getting blown out in a regular season again in back-to-back years.
Oh.
Now, they're fine with Josh Rosen, but that's not to say they're sold on Mike McCoy.
But this is what I'm saying. And for Case Keenum to be a veteran in this league, you don't wait this long to go talk to the offensive coordinator and say, hey, I don't like that play. Throw that play out on Wednesday. When you get the game plan, throw it out. I don't want that one, coach. In a tough situation, the quarterbacks have a list of plays that they can call or the quarterback or the coordinator can call. It looks like Case Keenum is getting a earful of plays that he doesn't like.
Hmm. When we come back, game plan Wednesday. There's we're not saying the Cardinals are a good team. They're maybe not quite as bad.
They're not as bad as I thought they were. As a matter of fact, I think they're better than the Jets.
All right, we'll dig into it next.